So Shavuos, there is no special mitzvah associated with Shavuos. Very fascinating. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, there's no mitzvah. There's one mitzvah, a very special mitzvah. Some say it's deraisa, some say it's derabanan, cheesecake with a little chocolate syrup. That's a machokas, whether it's deraisa, that was a joke, or derabanan, whatever. Anyway, but it's fascinating, there's no mitzvah on Shavuos. So there's a deep, deep, deep message here. This is like a small thing that's part of a huge topic. The deep, Rav Hirsch says it, the deep message is having a mitzvah on a Yom Tov is in a sense limiting. If I say Pesach, what do you think of? Matzah. If I say Sukkot, what do you think of? Sukkah, Lulav. Rav Hirsch writes, when you say Shavuos, let's say there was a mitzvah deraisa to kiss the Torah on Shavuos. It'd be a nice mitzvah. Or a mitzvah deraisa to eat cheesecake, whatever. So, if I say Shavuos, Hashem, this is deep, doesn't want you to think, oh, kiss the Torah. Shavuos is about Matan Torah. Matan Torah is about my whole life has to be different. My whole life is different. Torah is supposed to permeate every part of your life. So Rav Hirsch writes a beautiful idea that since the whole purpose of Kabbalah's HaTorah is that it should apply everywhere in one's life, in every part of one's life, therefore there's no particular mitzvah which would in a sense limit the focus of the mitzvah. It's a very deep idea. So it makes sense that we don't have a mitzvah because the message of Shavuos is be makabel on yourself to keep the whole Torah and live a Torah life and nasa v'nishma and my whole life should be changed based on the Torah. That's our first, that's a nice idea. Okay. But there is a custom to eat milchiks on Shavuos, so let's discuss that custom. That custom goes back at least 500 years before the time of the Ramah. I'm not sure exactly when it was very old. Milchiks on Shavuos, we'll discuss three pshatim. We'll discuss the simple pshat, we'll discuss the official original pshat, and then we'll discuss the well-known pshat. Milchiks on Shavuos. Okay, so the simple reason is we milchiks on Shavuos because milchiks tastes good and Torah is sweet and we're happy to get the Torah and we're in a good mood on Shavuos and we're happy to get the Torah and learning Torah is supposed to be sweet. This is what the Mishneh Berurah says, page 201. This is the simple reason. Mishneh Berurah Yud Gimel. The Torah is like milk and honey under your tongue. It's sweet. It tastes good. Milk tastes good. I mean, you know, chont is good. Chicken is good. You know, but cheesecake is better. That's just the way it is. So cheesecake tastes really good. So it tastes good. Oh, so what's the message? The message is, number one, I'm happy to get the Torah. I'm in a good mood today. The Torah is the greatest gift. Period. Gives our life meaning. It lets us get Olam Haba. We get Olam Haza too. You keep the Torah, you get Olam Haza too. This is a deep idea. You live your life according to the Torah, you get Olam Haza too. Rabbi Meir Twersky always talks about Hashem looked into the Torah to make the world. So we human beings, we are wired by the Torah. Our wiring is wiring. So by definition, if we live according to the Torah, it's going to fit our wiring and life is going to be good. And if it doesn't seem to fit, that's because we've been influenced by the outside world and we've messed up our wiring a little bit, unfortunately. I'm happy to get the Torah. I'm simpler today. It's the greatest gift ever. And I can't, and I get Shabbos. Torah gives you Shabbos. Shabbos is the greatest gift. All these things, you go on and on. So number one, you're happy to get the Torah. More specifically, you're supposed to focus on the fact that Limud Torah is sweet. So as to enjoy your learning. I enjoy learning. If you enjoy learning, great. And if not, you want to ask Hashem to help you enjoy learning more. This applies for women. It applies for much more for men. Men have more of a chiyuv to learn, to enjoy learning. A person is supposed to enjoy his learning. And you meet people who enjoy their learning. It's Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita. He's giving a shiur, and he says, this sugya is cheerful. That's the word he says, cheerful. I love hearing that word from Rav Shechter. He says it every now and then, cheerful. And Rav Nevinsal's son, Rav Chizkiya Nevinsal, if you ask him a good question, he says, She'ila misamachat. The question makes me happy. That's what he said. He doesn't say good question. He says, She'ila misamachat. It's like I like asking him questions, hoping he's going to answer them. She'ela misamachat. The question makes me happy. He does more. When you ask him a good question, Reben Saul's son, if you ask him a question, he starts talking to you, answering, he starts doing this. That's what he does. I call it the Reb Chizkiya dance. Because, I hold that just like us, some people, when they're younger, music, you start dancing to the music. So for him, Torah is music, and like his body, this is my shita, his body responds and reacts to the Torah, and like he almost can't control himself. It's an unbelievable thing to see. He loves learning. It's an amazing madriga to reach. Rav Nevensal tells a story. A guy comes home, it's a cold, wintry day, and he got wet, he stepped in a puddle, and gets home and he has a hot fire, piece of cake, hot tea. Oh, he's in a good mood, he dries up, he opens up his Gemara, and he's learning, and he says, oi, too much Olam Hazeh at one time. So he closes his Gemara and eats the cake and the tea. So Rav Nevensal says, right feeling, wrong reaction. You know, he loves that. He tells that joke. He was laughing at that joke. I guess for him, but, you know, it could really happen. Like that's the ultimate in Olam Hazeh. It's a nice story. There's a world famous Igle Tal that's good to know, and especially good to know on Shavuos. The Igle Tal is one of the famous Achronim. He says as follows. Somebody asked him a question. He said, Rebbe, when I learn Torah, I enjoy myself. So maybe since I enjoy myself, it makes the learning less good, because it makes it less lishma, because I'm not doing the mitzvah just for the mitzvah, I'm also getting enjoyment. So maybe it's less lishma. That's the question. And he answered, no, you're supposed to enjoy your learning. Not that enjoying the learning is something separate. I'm doing the mitzvah of learning, and there's something separate that I'm also enjoying it. No, enjoying the learning is part of the mitzvah. You're supposed to enjoy it. This mitzvah is made to enjoy. So it's not that the enjoyment is some outside thing that makes the mitzvah lo lishma. The enjoyment is part of the mitzvah that I'm doing. It's a very deep, beautiful shot. You're supposed to enjoy the learning. That's what he writes. We say it every day, Baharavna Hashem Elokeinu, make the learning sweet. Rabbi Emetzal always tells over the following story. There's a great story from the first Sanza Rebbe, the Sanza Rav. The halacha is that on a Yom Tov, you're supposed to have Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. Chatzi Lashem means half dedicated to God, learning, davening. And what's Chatzi Lachem? Half to your own enjoyment. What is that? Eating and drinking. Okay, that's the pshat. God, Chatzi Lashem is learning and davening. Chatzi Lachem is eating and drinking. So the Sanza Rav, with his Talmidim, they learned the whole night. They daven, shachris, leining, akdamos, musaf. Now it's time for Kiddush. Rus. Now it's time for Kiddush. And he said, we just finished the chatzi lachem. Now let's make sure that our eating is l'shem shemayim and is chatzi lashem. Get it? That's not what the words really mean. But he says, enjoying learning is so great that the learning the whole night, that's the chatzi lachem, that's for me. And now when I eat, oh, I should try to make sure that the eating is l'shem shemayim, is chatzi lashem. That's a great story. Something we all should try to achieve. So that's it. That's milchiks on Shavuos, enjoying learning. I'll tell you a story. I heard the following idea from Rav Neuberger Shalita from Bergen at Bergenfield. He was quoting somebody else. He was speaking at a Sheva Brachos, and this is an important part of Torah to hear. And he said that it's a wonderful schus for a young lady to marry someone who enjoys learning. I mean, he wasn't discussing, you know, kolel and this. He was discussing enjoying learning. And why? Because someone who enjoys learning has a never-ending, legal, free source, potential source of simcha in his life. Someone who enjoys learning has a never-ending supply of potential simcha in his life, and that could help you have a better marriage. A guy comes home in a bad mood, he's down from the office, his boss yelled at him, he lost a client, but he goes to a shir and he learns a hard tosfos and figures it out and feels great, there's a geschmack, and it puts him back in a good mood, and his job is to take the simcha home to his house. And that's what's supposed to happen. And it's a schus, and everyone should daven for that, for themselves and for their children. that the young man enjoys learning, because then there's a potential supply of simcha, and he always has a pick-me-up to help him. But when you're more of a simcha, you're a better spouse and a better parent, and the learning helps you have a more of a pick-me-up. And it's a beautiful idea that he said. I had a Talmud, we got married a little bit later, a little older, married a girl from here as well, young lady from here, a little older as well. And I was at the wedding, okay. When he went back to the States, he became close with Rav Avraham Shor Shlita. Heard of him? From Brooklyn. He's a giant. I don't know if he's a giant. Tzaddik and this and... Anyway. So this Talmud went to him every week, or Tuesday night, to get chizuk. Shir and a chizuk. Then I met him 8 months after he's married, 9 months after he's married. And I said, now when he first got married, his wife's grandparents had an apartment way out on Long Island, like way, way out. And he was living out there in the beginning. So I said, do you still go to Rabbi Shor Shir? He said, yeah, every Tuesday night. I said, your Shana Rishon, a wife sends you 4 hours to schlep to Brooklyn and Shir and back? And he said, yeah. He tells me to go to the Shir because I always come home in a better mood, and it gives us a better marriage at home. That's what he told me. That story's not good. That story's not great. That story's perfect. That's exactly the way life is. I'm telling you, that is exactly the way life is supposed to be. He enjoys his learning. She's happy to send him out. Not. Don't be his mashkiach. That's a separate discussion. I think Mrs. Schoonmaker talks about that, right? She talks about don't be his mashkiach, but besimcha, and besimcha when he comes back, and you send him out, and then he brings this, and if he doesn't bring the simcha home, you tell him to call me, and I say, you bring the simcha home, you're zocha that your wife wants you to learn tonight, you bring the simcha home. Anyway, that's a perfect story. That story is milchak san shavuos. Number one. Number two, that's not the official reason. The official reason's in the Ramah. Page 201, the Ramah gives the official reason. The Ramah says milchak san shavuos is similar to eating the Zeruah and the Beitzah on on Pesach. Why do you have the Zeruah and the Beitzah on Pesach? Because the Zeruah is Zeichet to the Korban Pesach, and the Beitzah is Zeichet to the Korban Chagiga. So you're supposed to have a Zeichet to the Korban on a Yom Tov. So the Korban of Shavuos is Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves, so you have to have a Zeichet to that on Shavuos. That's why you have milk. What? So the Ramah explains as follows. Ochin Machol Echolov, V'acharkach Macholi Basar. Uchichim Havi Imam Beis Lechem Ala Shulchan Shul Mokam HaMizbeach V'yesh V'zikaron L'shtei Lechem Shem Yekrivin V'yom HaBikur. The Ramah's official custom was you start the meal with milchiks. At the same meal you switch to fleishiks. The halacha is that bread that's used at a milchiks meal can't be used at a fleishiks meal. Bread used at a fleishiks meal can't be used at a milchiks meal, because when you eat with the bread, I'll tell you, the bread touches the gravy. So if you use bread at a fleishiks meal, it might have touched the gravy. Then use that same bread at a milchiks meal, and then you're going to put butter on it, and then you're going to have basar b'cholov. So when you bring out the fleishiks at the same meal, you're forced to bring out new challah with the fleishiks. And that new challah, a second challah on Shavuos, that new challah represents the carbon shtei halechem brought out on your table. The table, the Gemara says, is a symbol of the mizbeach. This is the Ramah's official reason. Now, you can't just go from milchiks to fleishiks. You have to wash out your mouth. You have to wash your hands. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And there's a custom to wait half an hour. Some people wait an hour. That's the official custom that the Ramah quotes. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, you don't have to bench in the middle. It's amazing. He says, Ein tzarich hafsik birchas hamazon. In other words, the official custom of the Ramah was, you make kiddush, you make hamotzi, you have your cheesecake, then you stop, you wash your hands, you wash out your mouth, change your tablecloth, bring out the new silverware, bring out the fleishiks, bring out new challah with the fleishiks, and that new challah is zecher to the karban shtei halechem. How many of you do this at home? This is not so common. I do it at home. Okay, so it's not so common. Okay, also in the other class. Okay, but you should know this is the official reason of the Ramah. It's 500 years old at least. It's not the common practice. A, A lot of people get nervous. Meals basically the same meal. Ask me afterwards, please. And B, like some have some quote a source that you shouldn't have at the same meal. Like I'll be the Kabbalah, milchik's inflation. So most don't do this, but this custom is the official custom of the Rama. Excuse me. So on Shavuos, most people have one meal milchik's, one meal fleishik's. Some have both meals fleishik's and have kiddush and milchik's before the morning meal. You follow whatever your custom is, but the official custom of the Rama was to have the milchik's and fleishik's at the same meal. That's custom number two. If you do that custom, you have to wash your hands in between, wash your mouth out, and wait at least half an hour. Some wait an hour from when you eat the milchik's till when you eat the fleishik's. The third reason, which is probably the most well-known reason, is not so old. It's roughly 150 years old. The Mishnah Berurah made it famous. It's not found in the early Rishonim. What's the famous reason? That the reason we eat milchik's on Shavuos is because that's a zecher to what Bnei Yisrael probably ate on Shavuos when they got the Torah. Why? Because the Bnei Yisrael got the Torah. They weren't keeping kosher yet before they got the Torah. Now they got the laws of kashrus. So they have to shecht an animal, not to eat meat. You have to make a shechita knife. And you want to cook the meat. Now cooking meat, you have to have pots. The pots they used yesterday weren't kosher now because they were cooking with the meat from yesterday. The meat yesterday wasn't kosher because now they have the laws of kashrus. So you have to make a shechita knife. You have to kasher the kalim. You have to shecht the animal. Then you have to do malicha and get rid of all the blood. And that first day, what they eat the first day? The first day they probably ate milchiks because it's much easier. You can have milchiks raw. It's much easier to make milchiks than fleishiks. So since Bnei Yisrael get the laws of kashrus and they probably ate milchiks that first, so as a zecher to that, we eat milchiks on Shavuos. That's the famous reason. Now that reason includes a big assumption. The assumption is that they had the laws of kashrus. They didn't have the laws of kashrus. They just got the Aseres HaDibros. They didn't have the laws of kashrus yet. They didn't get the laws of kashrus till Vayikra. So the Mishnah Berurah knew that question. The Mishnah Berurah says that this pshat is assuming the famous shita of Rav Saadia Gaon. What does Rav Saadia Gaon say? That the Aseres HaDibros are like 10 categories. And all of the Taryag Mitzvos somehow fit into the 10 categories. So when they got the Aseres HaDibros, it was as if they had received all the mitzvos, even the laws of kashrus. They didn't have the laws of kashrus for real. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that. When the Mishnah Berurah quotes this famous pshat, he quotes that comment of Rav Saadia Gaon for this pshat to work. So that's the well-known pshat, that we eat milchiks because they probably ate milchiks, because fleishiks would have been too technically difficult for them to eat. Those are three pshatim about milchiks on Shavuot. One additional comment about this famous pshat of the Mishnah Berurah. There's a long discussion in the Gemara about when the Torah was given, Vav Zayin Sivan. But in the Gemara, everyone agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Now, if that's true, then the Mishnah Berurah's explanation is too fancy. Of course we couldn't eat meat on the day of Matan Torah. It was Shabbos, Shechitas Aser. The Mishnah Berurah gives an elaborate explanation. We would have had to remove the fats from the food and salt the food and make a shechita knife and find cooking utensils. Very elaborate explanation. Why so many things? Shechita was aser, period. So the Mishnah Berurah's pshat seems to be too fancy. So, and some of the Achronim actually say, this is why we have milk on Shavuos, because fleishik was aser, because it was impossible to do shechita. Elicha Shlomo writes this in Perek Yud Beis, page 380. So it's fascinating to note that the Chafetz Chaim was asked this question during his lifetime, and he responded during his lifetime. Towards the back of the Kutei Halachos, it's the Petrikov version, edition, the Chafetz Chaim he was asked this question during his lifetime, and he says, you're right, this explanation is elaborate, but the Chafetz Chaim writes, there is a shita in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Memvav, that says the Torah was given on Friday. Oh. And according to that approach, then you indeed the elaborate explanation. So if the Torah was given on Shabbos, which is the standard view, then it's very simple. Shechita was aser, period. Nothing to talk about. Of course they had milchiks. They didn't, of course they couldn't have fleishiks. The Mishnah Berurah's more elaborate explanation was assuming even if the Torah was given on Friday. Okay, we'll stop.